The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Best case is we have a fair election in 2024, absolutely fair, you know, unlike any other election we've ever had, right? That's the best case. So that's the best case, fair election 2024, right people, country, you know, says here's who we want, right? A duly elected president. And then that, in this case, doesn't get undermined by the previous election, by the previous president. The worst case is something else that is unimaginable. It's unimaginable to me because the possibilities that exist are no election, national emergency, a declaration of some other crazy pandemic. I mean, they're already talking about some of this stuff.
Unimaginable. Lots of different scenarios. He emphasized that a couple of times during his visit to our campus just last week. That, of course, is from last Monday night's address. But just think about only a few years ago how preposterous it would have sounded to suggest that, you know what, there may be some kind of emergency declared that would cancel the election. There are scenarios now, I'll give you some pretty amazing stories here in just a second, to show that what he's saying there, it is plausible. I mean, that could happen. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. I can't believe we're starting another week. The program, of course, comes to you live at trumpetdaily.com every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. Of course, I think you know about our Rumble channel. You can search for the Trumpet Daily there at Rumble and join the live discussion that happens every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. If you do visit the Rumble channel, make sure you give us the thumbs up and that you share the video so that the audience can continue to grow. The Rumble channel, live from America, LFA TV. We replay the show every day at that channel at 8 p.m. central time zone or central standard time. And then, of course, 9 p.m. in the eastern time zone. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. As I say, I can't believe we're off and running on another week of broadcasting. I can't believe the month of August is nearly over. We're moving into September this week. Just crazy how fast time is flying. So if the indictments don't work, if they can't put him off into prison and so that he's never heard from again, how about if we just cancel him from the ballot? We just blot him off the ballot. This is from the Boston Globe. It says, a debate among constitutional scholars over former President Trump's eligibility for the 2024 presidential race has reverberated through the public consciousness in recent weeks and reached the ears of New Hampshire's top election official. Yeah, he's actually listening to this novel legal theory, yet another novel legal theory. And the top guy in New Hampshire, well, he's considering it. I mean, he has to, right? I mean, if it's involving Trump, and he's illegally on the ballot, we got to remove him, don't we? We're not just going to subject this to the American people as if it's some kind of democracy. Just cancel Trump. That's the way these radicals think. That's the way the communists always think. When they know they're going to lose at the ballot box, well, then just get rid of your opponent. Or cheat like they did in 2020. And like they did again in 2022 in Arizona. Carrie Lake, too much of a threat. Got to get her out of the way. Says here, Secretary of State David Scanlon, who will oversee the first in the nation presidential primary in just 5 months, said he's received several letters lately that urge him to take action based on a legal theory that claims the Constitution empowers him to block Trump from the ballot. These radicals, these experts, they're telling him, look, the Constitution empowers you to block Trump. However, the Constitution certainly does not empower Mike Pence to send it back to the states for a week so that they could investigate the election fraud. You see how this works? Hold up the Constitution, even while you're shredding it, and then denounce those who would actually say, hey, you do have constitutional authority to do this, this, or this. Scanlon, a Republican, of course he's a weak rhino Republican. Yeah, he's having to listen to these critics, these communists, saying you just need to cancel him from the ballot. That tells you everything that you need to know right there, the start of that sentence. Scanlon, a Republican, of course, he's cut from the same cloth as Nikki Haley and Chris Christie. They're out there saying, look, we can't go with someone who's been indicted. Certainly not one that could be convicted. Listen to what Chris Christie said, by the way. I think this was him evaluating his debate performance last week, number six.
And the truth is that, you know, we can't have a convicted felon as our nominee for president and expect we're going to win. And it was really the most amazing part of the debate to me was the idea that, you know, the majority of my competitors believe that you can have a convicted felon as our nominee for president and that they'd support that and that he could win.
Yeah, he's a convicted felon. He's already convicted. This guy's a lawyer. I think he's a lawyer. Yeah, he's a lawyer. And doesn't mind that a radical hack like Fannie Willis comes forward with some bogus indictment. In his mind, he's already convicted, Donald Trump. Already. He cannot believe that people would dare raise their hand during that debate and say they would support Donald Trump even if convicted. Christie, of course, for his part, he raised his hand as well. Look at this one from, I know I've played it a lot, but it's just too funny to pass up. This is number seven.
If former President Trump is convicted in a court of law, would you still support him as your party's choice? Please raise your hand if you would.
There's the close-up, the zoom-in. Hats off to the guys in the booth for showing you the video evidence. As I say, I've got it on a big screen right over here to my left. He raised his hand after he looked around to kind of see which way certain ones would vote. There's Chris Christie. And then he denies it right after that, said, no, I wasn't raising my hand. And then, of course, he goes on the talk show. They love having him on the talk shows all weekend, yeah. And he's there saying, I can't believe that my fellow Republicans would declare their support for someone who might be convicted. In his mind, you see, he's already convicted, Donald Trump. Scanlon, coming back to this article, he's a Republican. Of course he is. He said he's listening and will seek legal advice to ensure that his team thoroughly understands the arguments at play. You see, now the Constitution gives all of these election officials tremendous power. Mike Pence had no power. Mike Pence couldn't do anything on January 6th except for just rubber stamping on through. But now some local Yahoo, a Republican, of course, in New Hampshire, he may have the constitutional authority to just remove Trump from the ballot. Why not? It's hard to believe this is actually happening in America, but you can see why, Mike. You can see why General Flynn, and you can see why Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse, they're coming up with unimaginable scenarios. Because look at what these people are doing. The communists have control. And they don't want Donald Trump anywhere near that ballot because they know he's a man of the people. They know it. They know they'll lose. If there's any kind of free and fair election, they know they'll lose. says, not being a lawyer and not wanting to make a decision in a vacuum, I will be soliciting some legal opinions on what is appropriate or not before I make any decision. Look at, I mean, Donald Trump and his people, they're threatened with jail time because they thought about pushing back against election cheating. These people can think about doing whatever they want, including marking or blotting out Trump from the ballot. It says here, I have some in-house staff attorneys that are election experts, he said. I will be asking the Attorney General's office for their input. And ultimately, whatever is decided is probably going to require some judicial input. I've got all these experts. Trump had his experts as well. And some of them said, hey, the vice president has the authority to kick it back to the states so that you can at least investigate the fraud. That's the advice, the counsel that he was going on. And now he's been indicted for it. This is from ABC. It says, separate from the criminal cases, over the past few weeks, a growing body of conservative scholars, of course, here come the Republicans, here come the conservative scholars. They've raised the constitutional argument that Trump's effort to overturn the results of the 2020 election make him ineligible to hold federal office ever again. Never happened to Hillary. Never happened to Stacey Abrams. But now, I mean, conservative scholars wonder if Trump could ever be eligible again because he dared question the results of 2020. Because he dared to bring up the subject of all of those voter irregularities. It says here, the disqualification argument boils down to Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment, which says that a public official is not eligible to assume public office if they engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the United States. You see why the January 6th narrative is so precious to these communists? The insurrection. Trump led an insurrection, so he's disqualified. Or had given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof unless they're granted amnesty by 2/3 vote in Congress. This is where we are. This is what's being discussed. As General Flynn said, the unimaginable. You see why from this piece they're looking to just cancel him. Donald Trump has turned his Georgia mugshot into a record-breaking fundraising haul. The former president has raised $7.1 million since he was booked in the Atlanta jail Thursday evening. The money just comes pouring in. All of the websites, just as we said on this program, all of the websites with the merchandise, the mugs, the T-shirts, the baseball caps, and, of course, the mugshot, where Trump said, never surrender. Never surrender to these demonic communists that want to upend everything about the United States of America, that want to shred the Constitution of the United States. $7 million. This is what the radical left is up against. And this is why they want to just suspend the democratic norms going into next year. This is from the Washington Examiner. Trump's enemies come up with a new scheme to take him out. Let's say you hate Donald Trump and really, really, really don't want him to become president of the U.S. again. How do you prevent that? Well, most would agree the best way would be to defeat him electorally, either in the Republican primaries or in the 2024 general election. But a significant number of Trump's adversaries don't have enough faith in our democratic process to make that happen. So they hope that at least one of the four prosecutions targeting Trump, two from elected Democrat prosecutors in Manhattan and Atlanta, and two from the Biden Justice Department, two from Democrat hacks, and two from Joe Obama's Justice Department. And Chris Christie's out there saying he's basically convicted already. What is wrong with these people? Where is their courage? Where's their patriotism? It says here, Trump's opponents who don't appear to have, well, Biden's Justice Department, even though conviction does not legally bar Trump from running and winning, the hope is that, as a practical matter, there's no way a convicted Trump could regain the presidency. says here, but there are some of Trump's opponents who don't appear to have a lot of faith in that course of action either. So they're now exploring the idea that Trump is already disqualified from running for office. State election boards or secretaries of state, they say, can and should simply remove his name from the ballot in their state. How do you think that's going to fly with the MAGA movement? Yeah, just remove him from the ballot and we'll move on as a country. These people don't realize that they're playing with fire. Something unimaginable is on the horizon. It says here, the anti-Trump law professors are telling election officials across the country that they can just take Trump's name off the ballot. Do you think these people would have orchestrated the election of 2020 where it was just perfectly secure? Or do you think they would do anything in their power to cheat their way to victory? This is what they're doing here. They're openly discussing it. And none of them are going to be convicted for thought crimes. Let's just take them off the ballot. Talk about something unimaginable. The governor of Georgia, by the way, I mentioned last week, with all of this craziness coming from Fannie Willis, where are the Republicans in Georgia to put a stop to this prosecutorial misconduct? Well, in many ways, these Republicans in Georgia, they're like the Republican election official in New Hampshire. Well, yeah, I'm not an attorney, so I'm going to have to get some advisors and see if there's any validity to just scrubbing Trump from the ballot. Governor Kemp in Georgia, he was overheard and recorded saying that it's hard to hear this, but watch the, you can see what he's saying there on the lower third about how if you control the machine, you can cheat or it's easily hackable. That's what he basically said while he's out on the campaign trail or just talking to his constituents over the weekend. This is clip one.
I'm a Republican, sir. Good. I am. And I hope that you will stand on the side of truth. I ain't standing on the side of truth. And winning elections, because that's what matters.
Grady County boy here, Field Searcy.
Hey, great. Good to see you.
How you doing?
Thanks for videoing.
Yeah. We want to keep it on the record.
That's good.
We need transparency in our elections.
We
don't have transparency now.
Volunteer to be a poll worker.
We got a secret box. It's a secret box.
Initially, he said there, if you give anybody the machine, that they can hack into it. And then his handlers, they start surrounding him. All the women there, they rush in, try to push the guy back who's videoing it. And then he does his skillful backtrack. Listen, it was secure. Everything about it was secure. And the guy there filming says, we need transparency. There's a lot of people guilty of these thought crimes that they're charging against Trump and something like 18 others in Georgia. And meanwhile, these same crooks, they're out there talking about erasing a candidate from the ballot. Just removing him from the process altogether. And he happens to be leading everyone else in the polls. Something unimaginable could be happening very soon. Something unimaginable could be right on the horizon. Things that were said just a few years, that could have seemed so far-fetched a few years back. COVID just blew it up. And just like General Flynn said, I mean, it could be COVID. It could be a number of things. They're already talking about it. And he was exactly right. This is from The American Thinker. It's a pretty good piece about connecting all of this to the vindictive spirit of Barack Hussein Obama. This is the story of America under attack. And, you know, American Thinker, of course, is a conservative site. But these are the kinds of articles that you never, never would have seen 8-10 years ago. Certainly not during the Obama years. But now that he's working behind the scenes, and now that people are waking to the fact that it's a puppet that occupies the Oval Office and that he's not legitimate, now they see America's being attacked. And who's leading the charge against the founding institutions of the United States, against the Constitution of the United States? That would be the dear leader. That would be Barack Hussein Obama. This article says here, the definition of vindictive is to have or show a strong or unreasoning desire for revenge. As an observer of the ongoing humiliation and persecution currently directed toward Donald Trump and anyone who supports him, what America may now be witnessing is an unparalleled display of malicious revenge. It says, one might ask, who is driving this retribution? The most obvious answer to that question is that it must be a self-absorbed force with a notorious reputation for spiteful exoneration. Judging from past conduct, that force would be none other than former President Barack Obama, the vindictive enforcer, as you can see there from that title. He's the one carrying out his third term. And look at the vindictive force that's guided his policy of hate and division and strife. As I say, it's interesting to see people saying these things now, finally keying in on his attitude, his approach, this fundamental transformation that he talked about in 2008. And we were virtually alone saying that, look, what we a fundamental transformation. Are you listening to what this man is saying? Now people are taking note, finally. It says, this man thrives on adulation. This is like right out of the very first segment. I don't think it's chapter one. It's like the foreword or the introduction. They swoon. They swoon before the dear leader. He says here, this man, speaking of Obama, thrives on adulation. Even the casual observer is aware of Obama's inability to accept criticism. He just won't take it. He will not accept criticism. He's above it. Refuse to genuflect, and Mr. Obama's ire is immediately directed like a laser toward the defiant. Just ask teabaggers or victims of a weaponized IRS. Judging from Obama's self-identification with his ideology, retribution isn't just politics, it's personal. I mean, he goes after you. If you don't bend over, if you don't bow down before the dear leader, he comes after you. If you don't swoon, he'll destroy you. That's the spirit of Antiochus. I mean, the Bible even talks about Antiochus, the Antiochus of old, of coming in by flatteries. Everyone just, he's pretending to be someone that he's really not. And of course, we've gone through all of that because of that that interview between the Obama biographer and I think David Samuels is his name. That's just been in the last few weeks. But we've been talking about the swooning for a decade, for more than a decade. It says here, defy him, and the former president looks for any forum, weapon, policy implementation, or cruel injustice to vindicate his vendetta, and somehow manages to accomplish this either publicly or privately. It says the man's skin is so thin that if not for his godlike status among his minions, his juvenile reactions would be considered embarrassing. All these, let's just erase him from the ballot. I mean, this is so embarrassingly unconstitutional, but he gets away with it because, well, he's thoroughly weaponized all these agencies and they all worship him. They worship him. They swoon before the dear leader. Says Obama's list of vendettas is long and ugly. Just ask the Supreme Court justices, Dinesh D'Souza, honest journalists, conservative groups, the Nation of Israel, and on and on and on it goes. Further on, he says, think back. From the start, I Want Obama planned to fundamentally transform the United States from the world as it is into the world as it should be, which, judging from his present condition, is beginning to resemble the Marxist you-know-what of his dreams. Finally, it says here, in the end, this man-child will not rest until his egotistical reprisals are satisfied, and America still has a long way to go. Barack Obama has already proven that if you deviate from his way of thinking, there will be you know what to pay. A little bit of profanity in this piece. But it says here, Obama has also proven that he hates America. He detests patriotic Americans. He loathes the U.S. Constitution and will set the world on fire to exact psychopathic revenge on his detractors. Therefore, on behalf of the global elite, who better than a vindictive Barack Obama to do the dirty work necessary to bring the last vestige of freedom to its knees? Wow, where was that? Where was that kind of an article 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago? It's good to see people finally waking up to what's happening to the United States. America is under attack. If you don't have a copy of this book, make sure that you call our operators today. They are standing by the 800 number. It's 1-866-930-3024. When we come back, we're going to give you, it's about, I think, 11 or 12 minutes. We've put together some summary highlights from General Flynn's speech last Monday night, just a week ago. And as I think you'll see, even with some of the stories we're talking about on today's show, there's a pretty good tie-in with what we were listening to and hearing just a little over a week ago. So we'll have that, and we'll come back after the Flynn highlights and finish off with a few more newsworthy reports. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Wow. Let me show you. This is my speech. You know, I want to talk about a couple of things, and then I want to I'm going to save most of the time, I think, that we're here tonight to answer some of your questions, and I'll get to the questions, because I actually like to have that interaction with the audience. You know, the title of this presentation is America in Crisis, and I think that everybody in this country right now is looking for answers. We are all trying to figure out, I mean, the question is this for real, right? Is this for real? Is this really happening to our country? And you know, And can we rise out of this? Can we get out of this mess? You know, I'm going to talk about a couple of things. One is this little document. I always like to show it. It's the Constitution of the United States of America, and I like to show it like this, because this little document takes you about an hour to read, and the majority of Americans haven't read it. The Declaration of Independence might take 2 minutes, right? And the first third of the Declaration of Independence is where we talk about, the founders talk about the Creator, right? And we describe the ideas of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then, of course, the Bill of Rights. And as was stated in that, a little bit in that that beautiful video, and thank you so much to everybody, to the great family environment that's here at this wonderful institution, and to the entire, Fleury family, just unbelievable. I don't know where Gerald is back there. Thank you so much, sir. And that's a big round of applause for you. Thank you. But when we talk about warfare, and we talk about the type of environment that we are in, this is a battle for our minds. We are in a war of narratives. You saw how the media went immediately after me, after they decided what the talking point was going to be to get Flynn, right? It was the two key words was warned against, warned against, warned against, warned against. And then they put Flynn, right? Warned against. I mean, they get their talking points down so well, and then they attack. And, in the past, and I've talked a lot about John F. Kennedy, and of course we have another Kennedy running for president on the Democrat ticket right now, and they don't even want him to be there. But JFK, in the day of JFK's, in the day of Robert F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, they actually got away with physically assassinating people. So now what they do is they narratively assassinate. They go after the narrative, and they will take any person that they don't like down through the narrative, okay? And the undermining and the usurping of the United States of America, of a duly elected president of the United States, never mind little old Mike Flynn going in, going back in to basically serve my country, which is something that I just love to do. And I mean, I would go back again, right? I mean, it's in my spirit. Okay, that's what I was raised to do, was to serve my country. So when we think about what is happening in our country today, and I could go through a litany of things, and everybody knows and sees and feels all of the problems in our country today. I mean, everything from and I don't want to demean teachers here, but the public school education system in our country, we're spending more money in this country than the next 10 nation states combined, and we're down in like the lower third. I mean, our public school education system. And part of it is you look at it and you say to yourself, how did we get here? How do we get to where we have drag queen hour in elementary schools anywhere? And I really, it's one thing to hold it. It's another thing to be a parent and bring your child to it. So I'm sorry if you did that, but don't do it, right? Don't do it. And things like critical race theory. And one of the worst abusers of it is a guy that was the former president who was a black man. I mean, I say, come on. This country, and I was in the Army at the time. I was in a really tough assignment. And even in the military, when Barack Obama was elected, we were like, this is great, right? I mean, this is great. It's like we kind of felt like if you're really thoughtful about our country and you think about, the hopefulness of our country for this great, diverse reflection of humanity that we have in the beautiful United States of America, it was like, man, everybody felt good. Hope and change. And then to me, one of the things that could have been done was a real drive by him, particularly by him, to really resurrect the family unit, right? To go into the inner cities, to go into those communities of color, and really resurrect the family unit instead of dividing the country. We have some serious problems in this country. And this is not a Democrat versus a Republican. This is not, small government versus big government, or less taxes versus more taxes. That's not what the situation that our country is in. This is a fight This is a fight between what I describe as Americanism, people who deeply believe in our country, deeply believe in the Constitution, in the rule of law, and in basically taking care of our families the way our families need to be taken care of at home. That's Americanism, and there you can add some other subtext to it, versus globalism. Globalism. And globalism is a big deal. Globalism, I mean, I pay very close attention to these people that are in this globalist society, right? And not without, you know, I'm not going to get into all the conspiracy stuff that people talk about. These are their words. This is their organization. This is what they say. Our children are being bombarded by these now, and they're really trying to shape a new culture here in America. Sort of an America with socialist characteristics. Okay, just like they call China. China is a communist country with Chinese characteristics, right? Russia's the same way. They're trying to do this to America. And America, if you don't get it, America is the last sort of redoubt, right? Or the last bastion. When I use the word redoubt, it's like there's these defensive lines that you prepare in a defense, and you get to the last point where it's like, this is it, right? Well, this is it. This crisis moment, this very historic crisis moment for this country, we are in that valley. So now what we've got to do is, together, we've got to figure out how to get out of this. And they're in these school boards, and they're like fighting, and the school boards are having them thrown out. The moms go in there, and they try to show pictures of books that they're being taught in their schools, and the cameras have to shut off, right? How crazy have we become? Because there's so much pornography taught to elementary school kids. I mean, that's how you change a country, okay? And the communists back in the 1950s that came into our country, all you got to do is go back in time and read some of this history. That's one of the things that they said to do. Get the children. Get the children. And you do it through Hollywood. You do it through all kinds of symbolism. And you work on it and work on it and work on it. And then you have to decide, you know, in our system of government, where we have two major parties, Republican Party, Democrat Party. Now we've got to go get a party. We've got to go take over a party, you know? And so you're looking at a guy who only for 2.5 years, actually, yeah, right about 2.5 years now, I registered as a Republican 2.5 years ago. But I was a Democrat. And so we have about 14 months. We have about 14 months, give or take, right, going into 2024. And I can't stand up here and tell you we're going to have an election. I'm not. What I'll tell you is that we have to plan for all the scenarios. We've got to plan for all the scenarios. As an intelligence officer, battalion level, all the way up to the highest levels of our government, I always had to look at scenarios. Best case is we have a fair election in 2024, absolutely fair, you know, unlike any other election we've ever had, right? That's the best case. Right? And you know what? You should clap for that, because that's what we should expect. You know why we should expect it? Because we're paying for it. We are paying for it. So when somebody says to you, you know, you can't look underneath this rug, you know, this is the rug. You can't look underneath that thing. You can't look inside of that. You can't do this. You can't do that. And they fight tooth and nail. It ought to tell America something. So that's the best case. Fair election, 2024, right people. Country, you know, says, here's who we want, right? A duly elected president. And then that, in this case, doesn't get undermined by the previous election, by the previous president. The worst case is something else that is unimaginable. It's unimaginable to me, because the possibilities that exist are no election, national emergency, a declaration of some other crazy pandemic. I mean, they're already talking about some of this stuff. You know, or the war in Europe, right? This endless war in Europe. And believe me, folks, it ain't going well. It's not going well. And I think if I read right and I follow, you know, pretty much what's happening, I think we just sent another $22 or $23 billion over to Ukraine about a week ago. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know, you look around the country and we have a horrific drug problem. We've got crime all over, you know, all the bad, right? All the bad. All these negative things. And we've got to rise above the negative. We have got to know where we stand, where we as Americans stand. And where we as Americans stand, I believe the majority of this country stands for America, right? That's right. I always knew that I was going to go into the service. And so I did. And I served, you know, our country, and I loved being in the military, and, you know, and here, and yet here I am talking to you guys about America in crisis. You know, our greatest battle is right here at home.
Our greatest battle right here at home, says General Michael Flynn. He knows about the attack that this nation is coming under. In fact, in that first interview that we had on this program just last week, he referred to this book numerous times, and even referenced it one time during that address last Monday evening. Again, if you don't have your own copy of America Under Attack, make sure that you call our operators today. The number is 1-866-930-3024. You can get to all of our literature, of course, at our website, thetrumpet.com. You can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. Also, I don't mention my Twitter handle very often, but it is more active as we've seen our audience grow, and we've been trying to promote some of the messages, whether written or spoken, that we have to give to the largest audience possible. But you can get to my Twitter feed at Stephen Flurry. That's Stephen with a PH. At Stephen Flurry takes you to my Twitter feed. I think we've also got a Twitter feed for this program, The Trumpet Daily, as well. Just to give you a few excerpts from America Under Attack and tying it back to that story in American Thinker that we were going through right before the promo. It says here, this is my father writing, "What I will show you in this book is the evidence that America has been ruled from within by another type of Antiochus." We talked about the spirit of Antiochus just before the break. It says, "For 8 years, this man used deceit and flattery as he sabotaged the nation from the top of our own government. For 8 years. And now it goes on. It goes on through the Joe Obama administration, Obama's third term. There was just that 4 years break where he was relentlessly attacking Donald Trump and all things Trump. But you see now how the nation has been sabotaged. It's been attacked from within, just as the general said there at the close of those remarks we gave to you. It says, "I've been warning about Mr. Obama and his anti-American ambitions since before he became president. During his presidency, I explained that he was an Antiochus type who sought the destruction of our constitutional republic. This was the main theme of my much smaller book, my much smaller 2013 booklet, America Under Attack." That's when this first came out. It's hard to believe this is 10 years old now. I mean, the first version, it was much smaller than this. We've expanded it as the story has expanded and grown over the years as well. And as the evidence of this attack, this sabotage, as it just pours forth. I asked General Flynn about Tucker Carlson's transformation and just how he's become more he's sounding the alarm. And some commentators have talked about the last couple of years with respect to Tucker's broadcast and just how much stronger he's getting. And I said, you know, do you have any thoughts on why that's happening? And some have said maybe that Tucker's becoming more religious or whatever. But General Flynn said, "I think it's just because there's so much evidence that we're being attacked, that he's just becoming more outspoken. He's getting a stronger message." It says here, "Barack Obama came as an angel of light, and millions of Americans believed and still believe him. But we've got to focus on his actions," my father says. "Look at his fruits. Anybody should be able to see past the angelic artifice and recognize the real power at work. His fruits define what he meant by fundamentally transforming America. Now think about this again in terms of Daniel 11 and verse 21, what it says there about the first Antiochus, or the one that came as Antiochus over 2,000 years ago. It says here, Daniel 11, verse 21 says, this leader obtained rule through deceitful lies and flatteries. He was a smooth talker and had a compelling personality. It says, anciently, Antiochus Epiphanes gained control by pretending to be someone he wasn't. He was a master deceiver. The same is true in this end time. You see, it's the same. It's the same for the one that comes in the spirit of Antiochus in these last days. He is a master deceiver, Barack Obama. He's sabotaged the nation. He came as an angel of light. He spoke smooth things. But when you look at his actions, when you look at the targets he went after, as that American Thinker piece brought out, I mean, this is a man of destruction. This is a man that's getting away with so much evil. This is a man who thoroughly weaponized the DOJ, the IRS, the FBI, all of them. And they worship him, as we discussed in that first segment. They swoon before the dear leader. It says here, Antiochus really believed he was God manifest. That's a frightening belief. This egotistical claim was inspired by the devil. Antiochus became Satan-possessed. He's referencing Isaiah 14 and 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. Comes as an angel of light, and as you heard in that American Thinker piece, I mean, he just does not accept criticism. If you criticize him, he goes after you. He tries to destroy you. It says here, America is in the throes of an Antiochus regime that is rapidly driving the nation toward radicalism, socialism, amorality, class division, civil war, and outright destruction. That's all from America Under Attack, as I say. If you don't have a copy of that book, just call our operators today. The 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. You can see there that it's also available at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com and you can get to any and all of our literature at the push of a button. No cost, no obligation for any of it. But if you'd like the hard copies, we'd like to make sure that you have a copy for your library. Just one last comment here. America is in the throes of an Antiochus regime. When I read that again this morning, it made me think of that clip that we played for you last Wednesday from that second interview that we had with General Flynn. This is clip 10.
This is 5 January 2017. So the Obama administration was trying to do everything that they could to undermine everything. They undermined basically to usurp the incoming Trump administration. That was the day to me, 5 January 2017, is a sort of the official start date of the coup led by Barack Obama against the United States of America to undermine a sitting president, a duly elected sitting president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump. And here we are, August 2023, and we're still in the throes of that coup.
Still in the throes of that coup. Talked about the official start date. I mean, when it was launched, and there were plans in motion even before January 5, 2017. But look at where we are today. Look at, like I discussed in the first segment, I mean, look at what these radicals are discussing openly. They're applying pressure on Republican election officials in New Hampshire. Just blot them out. Just blot them out. He can't be on the ballot. You're going to hear a lot more chatter along those lines in the days and weeks ahead. Something unimaginable, to go back to the cold open, something unimaginable is on the horizon. You read what Sundance has to say over at Conservative Treehouse. It is telling. I mean, you're seeing it on both sides, really. They're ramping it up. It's building toward an explosion of violence. Sundance says here, I've been quiet because I've been angry. This is a pretty prominent and influential conservative online. I've been quiet because I've been angry. The political events of the past 4 days, on Friday or Saturday, the political events of the past 4 days have made me seriously reconsider options for correction. I mean, he's talking about something unimaginable. The politically motivated arrest of U.S. President Donald Trump is a line crossed I never thought we would experience in our lifetime. He says, we have watched international politics with a semi-detached view, at least I will admit that I have, looking at arrests of political opponents from the safety of our devices and the comfort of reference points that always seem distant, over there, certainly not here. Sundance says here, the events of the past several weeks have shown us there are harsh landscapes ahead. You see, something unimaginable. We are traveling to places that have never been contemplated. He says, we are witnessing things accepted that were always out of bounds. There are no boundaries in this new place. The land is hard, and it will take quiet men with calluses to guide us through it. What's coming? What could possibly happen? Could something unimaginable actually happen now in the United States of America, where we're at a point where there really are no bounds? This is an influential conservative. He says it's time for the old mules to revisit the legend of their kin. It's time for the council of quiet men. It says here, it's time to remember the purpose of that old collar hanging on the wall. It's time for that unspoken language to be understood. He says it's time for the old mules to take lead and plow the terrain. Yes, the unthinkable, to use the language Herbert Armstrong used many years ago, the unthinkable will happen. Now's the time to really get our noses, not just in America under attack, but think about the United States and Britain in prophecy and Mystery of the Ages, both of those books written by Herbert Armstrong. We've been talking in doctrines class about the former and the latter rain, about the upper and the lower pool, how that God wants to feed us with revelation, the old truths, the truths of old, and also new truth, new revelation. Well, if you go back to some of those foundational texts written by Herbert Armstrong, certainly the two most important would be the United States and Britain in Prophecy, really a master textbook on prophecy. A third of your Bible is prophecy. The United States and Britain in Prophecy, and then, of course, Mystery of the Ages as well. Again, the 800 number, I'll just plug all of the sites. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. You've got the Trumpet website, thetrumpet.com. You've also got the Rumble channel. Make sure that if you're watching on Rumble, even as we speak, give us that thumbs up so that we can continue to improve our rankings. You can follow my Twitter feed, at Stephen Flurry. That's Stephen with the PH. You can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. You are listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, first show of the week. And we'll look forward to seeing you again tomorrow.